Thanksgiving Day. And you say, well, wait a minute, that was November. And easily when we just hear those two words, we'll think of pumpkin pie and turkey and a family getting together. You know, folks, in America, we have so much to be thankful for.
Yes.
Thanksgiving that needs to extend past just the day that the nation recognizes. And I want to tell you, with all that's happening in our nation, I am so thankful that that day is still recognized. But I don't want it to end with me just on that day. I don't want to wait until next November and say, okay, I need to take a day to be thankful. Oh, folks, we have so much to be thankful for.
Yeah.
And there are some verses, and before I even start with the message today, I'd like to share with you just a few verses that are reminders to me to give thanks, to be thankful. I'll just run some of them by you. Psalms 136 and 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Amen.
For his mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
And then that's Psalms 136 and 1. And he didn't stop there. He hit every verse. His mercy endureth forever.
Yes.
Throughout that whole chapter.
That's right.
Something to be thankful for. I look back over my life. I am so thankful that his mercy endureth forever. It reached me at times when I needed it most. There's another one, Psalms 92 and 1. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. Psalms 119 and 62. You ever wake up at midnight and you have thoughts going through your mind of things I need to do tomorrow? I've had that happen to me. Maybe I went home from work without a problem solved and I know I've got to deal with it tomorrow. And it's the strangest thing that you wake up at midnight and start thinking about it. And there's not a thing you can do to fix that till you go to work the next day. Well, this one gives us something to think about. Psalms 119:62, at midnight, I'll rise and give thanks. It's a good time whenever I just wake up that my mind goes to Thanksgiving.
Amen.
I appreciate, Lord, what you've done for me. Here's a time that when I wake up at midnight, my mind doesn't have to just start rolling on the troubles that I have. At midnight, I'm going to rise and give thanks.
Amen.
Psalms 30 and 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness.
Yes.
Just the remembrance of his holiness causes me to give thanks to him. That was in Psalms 30 and 4, fourth verse. Then in 2 Chronicles, that story will always stand out to me where Jehoshaphat met up with a battle that was bigger than he was. What was the solution for it? Appointed singers to praise the beauty of holiness.
Amen.
Thankful for who God is and the holiness that he has. We hear it today, we read the verses that tell us, be ye holy, for I am holy.
Yeah.
A tall order for us. But I want to tell you, in the world that morals are declining and going down so fast, we need to rise at midnight with thanksgiving to the Lord for holiness and for his mercy to me to lead me into the way that I should walk before him. Got another one in 1 Chronicles 16, and I'd like to read some of it. It says that this is David's psalm of thanksgiving. It's 1 Chronicles 16, starting in the 8th verse. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, tell ye of all his wondrous works. And it goes on through here how we should give thanks to him.
Amen.
There's another one that's a reminder. Psalms 100 and the 4th verse.
Yeah, that's a good
one. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise.
Yeah.
Know ye that the Lord, he is God.
Yeah.
It is he who hath made us and not we ourselves. You know, living in America where you have the opportunity to better yourself, when it happens, don't take the credit to yourself.
Amen.
It is he that hath made us. He gives me the next breath that I breathe.
Yes.
I need to have a thankful heart to him at all times for it. There is a reminder, a warning to us in 2 Timothy 3 and 1 through 2. In the last days, there's going to be perilous times will come. Men shall be, and it goes through the list of how it's going to be in the last times. One of them is men are going to be unthankful. You know, when I become unthankful, to the Lord for what he has done, I start becoming like Nebuchadnezzar, feeling like I've raised myself on my own bootstraps. Pulled myself up. I've made something of myself. Men will become unthankful. And then it comes down real close to where we live today in Romans 1 and 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. An unthankful people. There's one more. Philippians 4 and 6.
Yeah.
With thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. That's what we do. We don't want it to be just a repetition, something that we do before we pray. That a person gets up and they say, do we have thanksgiving? Okay, now do we have requests? No, that's not just a habit that we have. That's a teaching from the Word of God. With thanksgiving, give your thanksgiving. Now you got some requests. One thing about it, whenever I come to the Lord thanking him for what he did for me last week, it helps my faith to build that he loves me enough. He'll take care of me again. So today what I'd like to talk to you about, though, is another one that goes year-round that I need to be thankful for. It's 2 Corinthians 9 and 15. And someone used this verse earlier in the day. Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. That's what I'd like to talk about for a little bit this afternoon. Is you ever had a time that on Wednesday night you come to prayer meeting and you're sitting there and you think, I wish I could think of something to be thankful for. And usually what we're doing is we're saying, well, you know, if I'd had a near miss on the interstate where it was just, I knew I was going to die, but he saved me, that would be a good thing to testify about. Well, you know what? We need to be thankful for the unspeakable gift. The gift of salvation, because I want to tell you, it's becoming more and more valuable as the world is going farther down. It holds more value. The potential that it has to keep me clean when the world is becoming more and more wicked. I need to be thanking God for it. So I wanted to talk to you about thanksgiving for the plan of salvation. I was thinking about it this way. In our world, in the United States, religion abounds. But true salvation is on the endangered list.
That's right.
True salvation, the one that will change a man.
Right.
When the verse says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature.
Amen.
Old things are passed away, and now all things have become new. We're in a land where you can be a Christian and your morals be gone,
right,
and yet you claim Christ. But I want to tell you, there's a plan of salvation that I need to be thankful for. I don't ever want to take it for granted.
Right.
I appreciate it. And we're having times now in America, just a couple weeks ago on the news, I was hearing where the atheists are saying, we're going to begin having church services ourselves. We need to meet together on a regular basis, just like those Christian folks do over there. Not a believer, don't believe in God, but we're going to meet together to unite and reinforce each other in what we do believe. There is a lot of unbelief in the world today.
Yes.
Does it need to affect me at all? There's a verse that I'd like for you to remember. It's in Romans 3 and 3 through 4. For what if some did not believe? There are a lot of folks today that do not believe. There are a lot of folks, and it's being pushed down our throats about the same-sex marriage thing. And a lot of those are religious people. Folks, we're coming in where it's closing in around us. But I want to tell you, salvation and its potential to change a person has never changed. It's as powerful today as it has ever been. So that verse tells us, what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Does this unbelief in the world today need to cause me to say, okay, I need to be quiet. I need to squash this down a little bit. It's going to offend people. It says, God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. When it comes down to somebody saying, I don't believe, they don't have to believe. I believe. Because it has made a change in my life. And I am thankful for it. And the potential is, it has the power to continue making changes in my life. Because it was one thing for me to come one day and tell the Lord, I'm sorry for the sins that I have committed. I repent of those. But you know what? It's another thing for there to be power to follow me day after day. When the world around me says it's not possible to live free from sin, you will commit them, and that night it'd be best to just tell the Lord you're sorry about them. And tomorrow you're going to do them again. But this salvation has the power to check me It lets me know the Holy Spirit will come along and you'll hear a voice behind you. When you get ready to turn to the left or to the right, before you make the turn, He will say, "This is the way. Walk ye in it."
Amen.
That's what we need to be thankful for. There's in our song book, I'd like to look at number 64 for just a little bit.
Amen.
It says, "Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. My soul can never cease to sing, such love and peace abound. Jesus, our friend and redeemer, Jesus, our wonderful light. Saved by thy grace, we're forever singing the blood that makes us white." Salvation is the sweetest thing. To some people that haven't jumped in completely and given their all, it's a list of rules. It's a straitjacket that's keeping me from doing the things that I'd really like to do. But I want to tell you, to the person that jumps in and gives it all to the Lord, it's the sweetest thing that's ever been. There's a bumper sticker in this day and time that we have in this season. It says, "Wise men still seeking." They're still looking to this one that can make a change in their life. Salvation is a deliverance from who I used to be. And it's also has the power to be a deliverance of who I could be again if I ever went back that direction again. You know, we can say, well, you know, there are traits that are passed down to each of us from our families. This is who Grandpa used to be. You know, we've heard about that before. It's a tendency in my family to speak out. It's a tendency to get upset. But you know what? The power of salvation comes along and breaks that. To where it doesn't have to be that my generation and the next one after that has to keep on saying, "Yep, we'll just follow this trait right here." But it has the power to make a change. And I am very thankful for that. There's another verse in song number 196. Because I am thankful that we don't have to go from one day to the next saying, "I really hope I make it. I really hope today's not the one that I fall to something." This song moves us into another plane. It says, "How safe is the soul that abides in the Lord, securely from sin hid away. His anchor is the promise of God's written word to keep him by night and by day. That wicked one toucheth him not. He keepeth himself." See, it's a choice that we're making. There are some people saying, okay, once you give your heart to the Lord, you go back out and do whatever you want to. You're locked in to make heaven your own. No, I make choices every day of whether I will continue in what I've got. "He keepeth himself in the love of the Lord, and that wicked one toucheth him not." I'd like to look at just a few verses. I'd like to start in Isaiah in the 26th chapter. It says, "In that day," 26th chapter in the first verse of Isaiah, "in that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks. Open ye the gates that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. This song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city."
Yeah.
Folks, it is still just as powerful today as it has ever been. When wickedness abounds, where sin did abound, grace just that much more abounds, stays ahead of it. "Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks." Some people see the things that we do, the carefulness of our life, of my life, as being restrictions that people put on us. This says, "Salvation will God appoint for walls and for bulwarks, for the protection that I need from the world crowding in on me." Remember when it said he went by the field of the slothful, by the vineyard of the man that was void of understanding? One of the things was happening was the walls were broken down. The things that should have kept out, those things that would destroy what he was trying to protect, it had been broken down. In our life, salvation is the thing that can keep those borders strong. It's not about we have a list of rules that you got to do these 10 rules. I want to tell you, there's protection in what the saints have taught in the past. And we're seeing it. We're seeing the power of it in today's time. We're seeing others that say, I can let the wall down, and we see the results of just a few years. It doesn't take very long when you knock your wall down, because there's a whole lot to flow in today. There are people who have said, I only want to go just a little distance. I don't plan to go far. Folks, I tell you, look around. And it awaits us, everyone, if you let your wall down. We're going to have to give our whole heart to it for salvation to have the value that it needs to do. For it to be able to make the change in us that it really has the power to make, I've got to give it my all. Because I'm watching folks that want to hold the world in one hand and claim God in the other. The world around us is doing it, and it's not doing them much good. But folks, we have a strong city. God wants to have protection built in my life from the things that would crowd in around. Another one is Proverbs 18 and 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it, and they're safe. Safe, it doesn't matter how bad things get around us. They're safe. There's another one, Isaiah 12 and 3. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. This, I remember as a child when I didn't put my heart into it, when I came to service because mom and dad said I couldn't stay home, I didn't enjoy it. But I want to tell you, I'm thankful that the time came when I gave my heart to the Lord. Completely. Not just with, okay, I want to hit the fringes of it because I would like to make heaven my home at the end. That's a miserable way to live. But to put your whole heart in it, Lord, I want you to change who I am. I want you to continue to make changes in who I could be, who I could go back to being again. The Lord has the power to do that, and I am thankful for it. There's another verse of a song that says, some say this great salvation will stop all their good times. They must not do a thing but sing and pray. We do just what we want to. We go wherever we please, and that's what we're doing here today. I appreciate that song. It's not a straitjacket. It's the things that we enjoy doing. To obtain salvation in the world today, many of them say it's take a minute and accept Christ as your personal Savior. Take a minute and make a decision for Christ. It'll only take a little bit of your time, but there's no change. It was just the words, I make a decision for Christ. What Jesus told Nicodemus was, you must be born again. Amen. There's going to have to be a change come about in your life. The plan of salvation has not changed in all these years. As religions of the world have tried to pull it down, it hasn't changed. It's still got the power to make a change in a person's life. But they must be born again. Nothing else will do it. And then there's another verse where we're talking about where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. We do realize that it's by grace that we're saved.
Right.
It's not by works, lest any man should boast. It's a gift. Amen. It's a gift from God. But I tell you, it tells a whole lot about how much I appreciate the gift that was given.
That's right.
By what I do with it. Where it talks about where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. It goes on there in Romans 6 and 1 through 2. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? You know, we look at that verse where it says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And it's almost like people say, you know what, I'd like for grace to really have room to abound, so I'm going to sin a lot. No. What it's saying is, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? It's saying that no matter how wicked the world may get, there's grace to keep us pure and clean in this world, and I am so thankful for it. Can we do it in ourselves? No, we can't. But this season where we understand, it may be true that on December 25th, that wasn't the day he was born, but I do know there was a day he was born. And I do know there's a verse that says, she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. He's going to save his people from their sin. Doesn't matter to me what day it was. I'm thankful that he came. And I'm thankful that He has the power today to still save His people from their sins. I'm thankful for it. There's another verse of song that we have, number 105. I appreciate the songs that we have. We heard back, I guess I was a child when I first started hearing it from Brother Lewis Williams. There's a message in every song, and there truly is. I look at this song, number 105. It says, there's power in the blood to save from sin, to bring the peace of God where guilt hath been. A new and a happy life will then begin. There's power in the blood of Jesus. It says, no righteousness of ours can ever avail, but through the Lamb of God we shall prevail. There's power in His blood. All else will fail. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Where it says, it's a gift, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. There's not a thing I can do on my own to bring salvation. But there is, you know, that verse is used a lot of times to say works are not important. But have you ever gone to the next verse that comes right after that one? I believe it's the 10th verse. It says that gift was intended to cause there to be works start flowing from you because of what it brought about in your life. It says there's power in the blood for our release. There's power in the blood to bring soul peace. The merits of His blood will not decrease. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Today, as wickedness is abounding all around us, and we hear it on the news and it starts to get depressing, that this state, just in this last couple days, I believe it was Utah or one of the states said, we voted against same-sex marriages, but along comes a judge and he says, that's unconstitutional. I overthrow the whole thing. Folks, they're falling one at a time. But I want to tell you something, there's power in the blood of Jesus. No matter what happens around us, no matter if all 50 states fall to it, no matter what pressure is applied to us, folks, keep it real clear. All I need to know is, what does the Bible say about this issue? No matter what issue it is, find the Scripture and stand by it. This one is clear as can be. What if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? No. I believe that back when God came down and visited with Abraham, and He told him, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham, I'm about to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to take a look and see if it's as wicked as what has been coming up to me. And it was. But I would still be willing to spare the city if I could find Abraham saying, Lord, if you could find 40, would you spare the city? His mercy endureth forever. He was willing if I could find 40, 30, 20, 10 people. Lord, if you could find 10 righteous people in that wicked city, would you spare it? And He said, I will. Folks, I want you to just keep in your mind, there will be a time when God comes down to visit America. Is this as wicked as it's coming up in my nostrils? I would like to be one of those righteous people that could possibly cause this to be spared a little while longer, that the Lord could deal with those. I want to be faithful to Him. We all have a hope of making heaven our home. Most all religious people do. They plan at the end, I want to make heaven my home. There are some things that I have to do. I'd like to read that. It's in 1 John in the 3rd chapter. And it starts in the first verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. This is talking about that desire I have of making heaven my home. Not sure what it's going to be like over there, but now He's telling me what I need to do if I expect to be able to make it. Third verse says, and every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. What a carefulness it wrought in you. What a vehement desire. We need to have a very much of a carefulness about our life. Yeah. Never feeling like, well, I'm keeping this distance from me, from the world. The world is going down fast. I can no longer try to pattern myself. I'm keeping this distance, so I'm okay. I must please the Lord with my life. I must purify myself. It's a job that I do. It comes from Him, first of all. As He comes to me and says, Dan, what you said was not right. Have you had that happen to you before? I'll never forget the times when it happened to me, because I don't never want to go back to that kind again. Amen. Folks, there are tendencies that we can each one have, and the Lord wants to purify those. I was taught from a child, don't lie, because you're going to have to clear that up sometime or you're going to be lost. You know what you can do? You can start learning to work with that. I would not tell a lie. You know, you can tell a half of the truth and lead somebody down a different road. And maybe I'm like others that work on a public job. I like for those that I work with to feel like I'm doing a good job. I want to do a good job. To the point that I had something happen, and I've probably told this before, but this is telling us, folks, every man that hath this hope in him needs to purify himself. As the Lord deals with you, you better take care of it. I had a time at work, and I work in an office building down in Oklahoma City. And each morning, we make the rounds. We have a checkoff list on a walkthrough sheet that this equipment is working. Here's the temperatures. Here's the pressures. Here's these things. We had trouble years ago with a bus duct, the electrical service that comes into the building. Had an expansion joint right above it, and it had leaked and had caused that in rain coming through there and people not knowing about it, had caused that to blow up. So from then on there was a checklist. If it's ever raining and that expansion joint is leaking, get help. Get that taken care of. And there was even a shield that was put over it. Well, I was doing my walkthrough one day, and I walked by, and it was just starting to rain a little bit outside. And I saw drips coming through that expansion joint onto the shield. And I said to myself, okay, when I finish this, I'm going to call the people that we need to call to get this repaired. And I forgot all about it. It was gone. Until a couple days later, it was pouring down rain, and that came back to me. And I hurried up there and looked, and sure enough, now it's not just dripping on the shield, but it's running on the shield, and it's running on the piece that had blown up a few years ago. Well, now I have a little decision to make here. So I call my boss, and I tell him, look, I'm up here now. I'm taking a look at this thing, and it's leaking. We need help. Well, he calls the people. They come out there. They were able to clean it up and take care of it. And as the contractor drove off, my boss told me, said, Dan, I want to tell you something. I appreciate how careful you are about watching this building and making sure that nothing goes wrong. And I let him walk away. But you know, while I'm looking at his back as he's walking away, the Lord said, you didn't leave him with the truth. And I know I got to go take care of this. Now, I can spend days mulling about it, or I can just follow right along behind him and take care of it. So those things, he went to his office, and I came along and knocked on his door, and I said, I just need to tell you something. I said, I didn't give you all the truth. When I told you that I was up there and I saw it, that's true, I was up there and saw it. But I didn't tell you that I'd seen it 2 days before and should have gotten it fixed then. And I want to apologize for that. Folks, you know what? There can be things when the Lord wants to purify who we are, there are tendencies about who we are that He wants to purify. So what I want to do is I want to be real careful about that area of my life. Because you know what? There, we can say, well, in fact, I can laugh about it sometimes of things. Well, you know, if I go on a diet and Cheryl's working with me on that, and I go to work, and when I get home, she wants to know, okay, how's he sticking with it? So, Dan, what did you eat today? And I did eat a salad. I had a salad, and that goes good with a diet. That's a good thing. So I told her, I said, I had a salad, and I stopped. Well, what I didn't tell her was that salad wasn't enough, so I had me a pack of donuts after I got through with that. Well, you know, I told her the truth, that I had a salad. But the other part just wasn't going to fit. It was going to cause me some problems. Now, those are small things, but you know what they can do? They can move into some other areas of our life to where I have a hope of making heaven my home someday. But I want to tell you, the devil will work with the areas, and maybe that's not your area. The devil will work with areas in our life where he knows I can get a little bit of a foothold right there. Because there's something that this purifying that we each one need to be doing is preparing us for. There's an event that's out ahead. And it's told in different ways, but it all meets with the same end. One of those is told that there are 10 virgins. There were 5 wise. There were 5 foolish. And I don't know that I understand everything about all of that story. But I want to tell you, when I look at it, it tells us that all 10 had a lamp that was burning at one time. So it tells me in my mind, if the bridegroom had come earlier, there could have been 10 that were ready. Time passed. Time can be our enemy. I can be fervent today. But just like back when the Lord told Moses, you kill a lamb, you tell him to put it on the doorpost because I'm coming at midnight. Every one of us, it said Israel did that. Everybody did it. I could do it if I knew he's coming tonight. But he may not come tonight. The bridegroom did not come in the amount of time apparently that they had expected. Some time kept passing. Enough time, and it says they all slumbered and slept. Enough time that I wonder, should more time have passed, would there have been 7 that ran out of fuel? Folks, it's a warning to me. It's a warning to us all. As sin is abounding around us, punishment will come for this one day. We will, you know, we have heard ever since I was a child, the end is coming. Folks, the end is coming. And I'm getting of age that it really doesn't matter now whether it's the end of all things. Because people are dropping off. My age are dropping off. I need to be ready. There was another one where it tells me the same kind of story in Revelations 20 and 12 about the great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away. And there was an accounting that had to be given. And what was accounted for was the works, the deeds that they had done in the body. I want to be very careful of my life. But you know, with that, it's not the flip of a coin of whether I make it or not. It's choices that I make throughout my life. Salvation has the power in it to take me all the way through. So in closing, I'd like for us to take a look at a song. I'd like for us to sing it. And it is number 80. I don't have to go through life just hoping. I hope that I make it. I hope that on the day that he comes, I will be on the right side of the troubles that come my way and that I will have made the right decisions. This song says, hallelujah, what a thought. Jesus full salvation brought. He brought victory. He said, let the powers of sin assail. Heaven's grace can never fail because there's victory. There's victory for every one of us. I want to make heaven my home. Desire prayers.